It can be a true spiritual battleground to walk out faith, to walk out the fruit of the Spirit, and raising children. That whole environment, that the family and the... This asks so much of us that we can't do it. The standard is too high. We must rely on the Spirit to accomplish what He's given us to accomplish. This whole thing of you have this family, you've got this marriage relationship, impossible. You throw these two people together, they're bringing this baggage and their own sin nature, and they bring this stuff together, and they're supposed to have unity and love and kindness, and that's not even the whole story. They're supposed to take up the call of the church. The family is to be a disciple-making unit. And the children, it's this practical, gut-wrenching, daily, how do we do this thing? But yet, we are told this is how it works. And then as we get through this, and then he even gets in such practical manner of your work. How do you face your job every day? How do you deal with your fellow employees? How do you deal with your supervisor, your boss? How does that relationship work? And what's to be our goal there? And what's to be our attitude in it? And we set that aside. We're going to get back to that particular thing. But you see where all this is going is he wraps this up with this thing of spiritual warfare, that we are in a battle. And he's going to tell us that we can apply all of these things that we've learned, all this stuff we've gone over so far, is that this section here at the end is applicable to all of those things, this idea of spiritual warfare. And I have an apology to make to Frank Peretti. I made some disparaging remarks. And I'll just tell you, honestly, why I made those remarks. I was covering myself. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But it's because I haven't read that book in 20-something, maybe longer than that, a very long time. And I thought, man, there might be some bad theology in that book. You know, I don't really know Frank Peretti that well. I can't be recommending him as an author. I don't know him. I read that when I was so young. I mean, there's so many books I read when I was young that really impacted me, and I loved them, and I read them now, and I go, whoa, yeah, okay, but the theology is horrible. And so I don't remember. I just don't really remember. So I'm sorry, Frank, for disparaging. I don't remember any bad theology in that book. I really don't. So I'm sorry. And we drew on that example. You remember? And there was an example. That book opened up to me. One night I was driving alone, and I was up, kind of up high above the city, and I looked out over the valley, and I thought, wow, that is just a beautiful scene, isn't it? Look at the lights and the mountains up there, and a little bit of dusting of snow, and boy, that's pretty. And then I thought, but what if the veil was lifted for a moment? I could see in the spiritual realm, and I could see what's really going on. I would probably be scared out of my wits. I saw, you see, the stuff that we're looking at is real. We're not making it up. It's as real as that, as an atom that you can't see. You guys believe there are atoms? You believe that? You study that? Now, some of you are going to have some theories that you don't believe man walked on the moon, but you can believe in an atom. You can believe in gravity, right? You need to believe in that. And you can believe that you've been hurt emotionally at some time in your life, but you can't prove that. You can't show that to me. Well, more real than that, there's a spiritual realm. And we are told that there are even, if we could look out here over this valley, that there are geographical, I don't want to read too much into it. I don't want to go any further than what the Scripture tells us, but that there are demons. These demons were created by God. They were once angels. We studied all this. We know this history. We won't go back into detail there. They rebelled against God. They are powerful beings, spiritual beings. Now, as I mentioned to you earlier, the smoke is going to clear. We already know who's won this thing. This is not some equal thing of Star Wars where it's, you know, good versus evil, and it says who's going to win. But there are powerful forces out there. We're told there are even, it appears to be, there's a prince, we're told there are princes, like there's like a kingdom that is, it's organized, and it's against us. There's an enemy over that, and he hates us. He hates image bearers, and he particularly hates those that have this agenda, have this purpose that aligns with the purposes of God on this earth. And he's going to fight against us. So, the reason I mentioned the thing about the work, the job, is that there's an example there in the work, and that if you are going to get your work, your job, if you're going to get that right, if you're really going to be able to get that lined up, you're going to have to be a tent maker. You guys know what a tent maker is? You know, Paul was a tent maker. It's a term used that he actually literally made tents. But the reason that he made tents and he earned an income was because to support him in his carrying on with the cause of Christ in the world. And we really are to have the same approach. And we can enjoy our work. We need to be excellent at our work. But in everything, in our families, our work, in everything, we have this core purpose. Remember, we talked about that last week. Is that our purpose in life is now different. You should have made a turn. If you missed it, I think a little GPS thing, you know, it says, you know, if you do a U-turn, go back and make the turn or circle around, you got to get back on track. And that is, if you haven't taken up the cause of Christ, if you call yourself a believer, you've not really taken up the cause of Christ. Because this armor that we're talking about, this armor is for those. I'm not saying that if you haven't done this, that you can't be protected. But the whole design here, we talked about this in more detail last week. The whole design here is that this armor is to be used like a soldier uses his armor. The design is that it's to carry out the purposes of God. This is not a super spiritual self-defense program. This is military in all the terms here. It's military. And it's organized and it is headed towards a purpose, and that's God's purpose in the world. And that's what the enemy, Satan, is fighting against. So, what is he fighting against? Do you remember? He's fighting against the gospel. He's fighting against what our very core purpose is. Our core purpose is to set those free who are in bondage. Who are they in bondage to? Satan. They're in bondage to him. And God has provided a way of deliverance for them. And who are the messengers of that deliverance? We are. We are messengers of that deliverance. So, who is Satan and all of his whatever princes and generals and whoever else that he has organized in this army that he has, he is fighting against us moving in this direction that we have. And I gave you that example from Frank Peretti's book, Piercing the Darkness. And you remember there was the I think it was a pastor. I don't remember the details, but he's an older guy. He's weak. Things are falling apart. Things are not going well. There's no fruit. He's down on his knees. He is praying. And the scene is there's two angels watching this thing play out. The thing he gives us is based on scripture. This could be. There's two angels watching this, on the ready, hands on their swords, waiting. He's praying. He's crying out to God. He's in this room. There are dozens of demons. I know some of you really like this stuff, some of you don't like it. But we're just trying to keep right in the middle of what the scripture, because we have people on both sides that want to go crazy with it and some that want to ignore it. It's real. It's real. There are demons. They're flying around, kicking this guy. They have control over a lot of the people that are in his life. And he's praying and he's praying and he's praying. And the angel's there. Now? He's praying, he's crying out to God, and he can't get any relief. And they get the word, go. They fly down into the room and they start tossing him out. They clear the room. And suddenly, the man there on his knees praying, he gets some relief. He prays until he prays. and get some relief. He is in spiritual warfare. These are the ones the enemy fears. These are the ones that will make a difference. Those that are willing to take up the armor. And you see, that armor, it is good for personal defense. So, if you see a soldier walking down the street, whether that was in Roman days or whether that's today, and he's got on his vest, and he's got his pistol, and he's got his rifle, and he's got his helmet, he's just decked out. Your impression is not, "Boy, I bet that guy feels safe walking down the street," or "I bet he feels safe at home and his family feels safe." Yeah, maybe. Maybe he does feel like that. Maybe his family feels like that. But that's not why he has all that stuff. It's not for his personal defense. He's on a mission. He is on a mission, and he went through, and he was trained, he was equipped, and he was handed this gear, and it was said, "Put it on, because you're going to battle." So when he's walking through, and it's design of the equipment, and we talked about this with the shields of these Roman soldiers, it was designed to be used in conjunction with others. A soldier does not go out and fight the battle, a war, alone. There may be times he gets stranded out there. There may be times he gets alone. He doesn't choose that. It may happen. He doesn't choose it. And he quickly gets back. And that, we looked at that unit that's moving. There's a man on point. There's some on the wings. There's some in the back. And they're moving ahead towards a goal. They have this goal in mind. And each has their job to do. If that one beside you falls, then certainly you're going to do everything you can to help them get up. Because it's not just you, it's the whole mission that it impacts. Every person has their place. Every person has their job. I will guarantee you, you underestimate your impact on those around you. I underestimate my impact on those around me. When that one falls, and that one's no longer there, whatever the reason, it may be God called them somewhere else. It may be they're too busy with Facebook to be in the Word. It may be they're online too much to be. It may be they're pursuing their own thing, and they've left their position. And the impact is devastating. You know, sometimes I say things from here I shouldn't say, and then next week I have to come back like I just did, you know. I'm probably, this might be one of those. I'm not that sure. I'm not sure. But I'm willing to take risks. I started counting how many people we've lost in the last 6 months to a year. When I got to 20, I stopped. So, okay, this is, I'm thinking in the wrong direction here. But do you know, I'm not going to try to say why or what, why those people are gone. Some are, it's just perfectly legitimate. God called them away and that's it. We got to accept that. Some, it was disobedience. You got to be honest. Some, it was rebellion. Some, whatever. A lot of those people were core people. A lot of them were core people. You know how in any church you have core people? Then you have peripheral people. I'm not saying that's scriptural. I'm just saying that's how it is. That's just how it works. You have these people. And let's assume the core people, not always. Sometimes the motive may not be good. But let's assume the core, let's assume it's right. When those core people, whether they fall or they're called away, there's a gap. There are many gaps. And people that are used to being peripheral, have to be core. They have to be the unit that's going into battle. They may not be quite ready. But here's your gear. I'm going to give it to you this morning. Begin giving it to you. This is your gear. You need to put it on. It's not for your personal self-defense. It's for the purpose and the cause of Christ and the world. And you must take it up. You're called to take it up. It's not me calling to take it. This is the command of God. that you go and make disciples. Well, I'm not ready. Well, I want to pursue this thing. That thing needs to take its place. To be set aside. And to take up the cause of Christ. Your family is not going to be right. Your work is not going to be right. Your life is not going to be right until you get it straight of what the priorities are. That I'm about God's purposes in the world, no matter the cost. And you see the enemy, he has made the cost high. And I think there are certain geographical places that the cost is extremely high. You want to go to some places in the world where the cost is physical death? If you take up the cause of Christ, were we called not to take it up because the cost is high? We're called to take it up anyway. So I don't necessarily know all of the cost in your life or even in mine. But we're called to take up the cause and take our place with our armor on. To take our place. And if you're not there, others feel it. You may not emotionally accept that. I don't always accept it either. I think, well, you know, somebody else can do this, and I can just go on and do something. I'm ready to pursue my own thing for a while and do this or that. Other people would feel it. And the same thing holds true with all of us. So this, what we're going to look at, continue to look at today, next week, or the week after, however that works, it's for you. It's for you. It's your training. It's your equipping. This is your gear. Put it on. You have a mission. Let's go. That is the call of it. You may feel like I'm just jumping into this, like, wait a minute, give us a little prep. We've been prepping all through. Well, we've been prepping for a really long time, but through Ephesians. Most of you have been prepped for quite some time, and the time is at hand. If you are following the teaching of this church, not just sitting there, but if you're following, then you're going to need what we're talking about. You're going to need it. Because it is the very heart of the reason Jesus came here, lived his life, died, and rose again. To set the captives free. That sounds military, doesn't it? To set the captives free? To deliver? There's going to be a battle. When you talk like that, there's going to be a battle. So, this is for our preparation. This is spiritual warfare. And you may say, I don't know if I'd like to just be a Christian. I like that peripheral stuff a little better. Well, picture this. There's a battle going on. You see the dust and the smoke and the flash. Cries of war. Where are you? Some little minion, not even a big strapping one, has you just pinned to the ground laughing while you waste your life not doing what you've been prepared, equipped, and called to do. So, that's not how I want. That's not what I want. I don't think. Hope is not what any of you want. So there is the call, and it is for you. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. I hope you can read that with a personal, heavy-duty light. Rather than thinking that's for my personal self-defense, or thinking that's for somebody else, this is for all of us. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, not if, when the day of evil comes, maybe it is here now, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We have those weapons, and we intend to use them, to learn how to use them. In 1 Timothy 4:7, it says to train yourself to be godly through discipline, through the teaching of the word, through the application. And in 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul speaks about not being unaware of Satan's schemes and of him trying to outwit us. So I give you these verses in one sense so you just remind you, this is not me just going overboard, talking about the powers and the principalities of the dark forces of evil and schemes against us. You see, the schemes, Satan hates you because you're an image bearer. He particularly hates you if you're a believer. But his real battle, if you picture yourself and you're not really about God's purposes in the world, and you envision yourself as this warrior out there fighting, defending yourself, really that's sort of a Hollywood version of yourself. Because the real battle is not about you. The real battle is not the real battle. Now, you have to win that battle. You do. You have to win the battle of the flesh. You have to be walking in the Spirit and bearing fruit if you're going to be effective in the real battle. The real battle is the gospel. That's the real battle. When is the last time you did spiritual warfare for someone that's in captivity? That you cried out to God, defeat the evil forces, give them some relief, back off, cause them to back off so they can hear the truth, soften their heart. That's where the battle is won. And that's what we are to be about. The armor of God is for a soldier. Now, you may have done some devotional on this or read something on it. I'm not just saying that's just worthless, okay? But this armor of God thing has been modernized, sanitized, and personalized, when really, it's much bigger than that. Now, we play a very important role in it, and we've been handed this gear, and we have this available to us, all this stuff we're about to look at. But it has a higher purpose, and it has some little bit of background. It's not just, this is within context, okay? It's kind of like, if you read John, Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, 16, there's some verses in there that say, whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, you will get it. And people, some groups will say, well, I claim that for my own, and I'm going to ask God for this, and he's going to heal my bum knee, and he's going to give me this vehicle, and he's going to... Well, you're really missing the point, because you took it out of context. The whole context there in John 14, 15, 16 is... He's talking to his disciples. He's commissioning them to the battle at hand. And he's saying, go out into the world and make disciples no matter the cost. It's going to be hard. Some of you will die in the battle. But that's not the tragedy to die. The tragedy is to waste your life. And then he's saying, within the context of that, go out and make disciples and win the world for me and get into the fight, and I'll do whatever you ask, and I'll give you what you need to accomplish the purposes. And it's not always going to look like it, but I'll give it to you. That is prayer. And that's within context. The armor of God is within the same context, really. It's about a mission that we are on. It's not this little personalized thing that we can take up to protect us and our little family and our little world. We are to have vision. We'd have be on mission in unity with others. So often, someone is supposed to be there, right there, watching this side, and they're off pursuing their own thing. And they're not there. And I get blindsided. Or you get blindsided. And you say, that's not fair. God's called you to something else. He's called you to a mission. The other part of this. You will never develop the character of Christ that you desire unless you take on His purpose. You see how that works together. You take on His call, His purpose in the world. You go into battle. Your faith is really tested. Your prayer life is really tested. Your intimacy with Him, your desire for Him, your passion for Him is really tested. You come through the crucible and your character is developed. You will never develop that just living in your own little world, pursuing your own little temporal thing. You won't develop Christ-like character. You will not grow up in the Lord until you take on the cause of Christ, until you pick up the armor, until you run to the battle. You will not grow up. You will not have victory. You will not have all this peace and joy. Now listen, there are times when running to the battle will cost you your peace. I hope that's not sacrilegious. Because you're taking on something that you can't handle, and there'll be times you'll try to carry it yourself, and then you have to run to God, and there's a struggle there. But you will come through to the peace and the joy that's talked about in the Bible. And you don't get that. Because that's not real Christianity until you take up the cause and the purpose and the mission, you put on your gear, and you go into battle with your brothers and with your sisters, taking up your place, and them taking up theirs, then you see how it works. Oh, that's how this shield works. It's not meant to take that volley of 1,000 arrows right by itself. It's interlocked with the others, step for step. None of this works. Prayer, the armor, the abiding, none of that stuff works. We pretend it works. None of it works till I surrender my will to His, till I yield myself to Him. I offer my body as a living sacrifice. I die to self. I live for Him. Surrender, submit my will to Him. Galatians 2:20, good life. Romans 12:1. Romans 6. You see, the target audience for Ephesians 6:10, the target audience is not t-shirts and plaques and bumper stickers and stuff to hang on the wall. No, that's a good reminder. That's not the target for this stuff. The target here is real. Those that are in the thick of it. Those that are in the battle. And that's to be all of it. I know there's different seasons of life. If you're in a season of being restored and you're not, that, don't let me put some guilt on you that doesn't belong there, okay? I'm talking about your whole life. You know what I'm saying? So you're off for the weekend relaxing. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But where are you moving to? And what's your purpose in that relaxing? Is it to restore, to strengthen for the fight? Or is it just to do your own thing? You'll never be able to do this unless there is real surrender. And you see the beauty in all of this. Why do I even want to go to the battle? Why do I even want to put this stuff on? Why do I even want to take up this call? For I am compelled by the love of Christ. There, when I submit and surrender my life to Him, I will know Him like I've never known Him before. I'll have intimacy with Him that I've never had before. I will have His love that He has for the lost, that He has for the brethren. I will have His love. I will know His love. I'll experience His love, and that will compel me. I've said it often, but what about Hudson Taylor and going to China in the 1800s? My goodness, that was foolish. Get on that ship and go there, and he... His family pays the price. His health pays the price. He, He didn't do it because he had to. He didn't do it because of the law. He didn't do it because the mission board told him to do it. He was compelled by the love of Christ. And that is us. As we go into battle, as we go into the world, we are. And we will never get that. As long as we have our own agenda. As long as we're living for self. We won't get that. Till we surrender and submit to Him. So, we've seen what the enemy is opposing. The gospel, related to this, he's fighting to hold on to souls that are in bondage, and he just wants to destroy. He wants to destroy what God has made. This enemy of the saints is a ruler of this world. He is. We're told that. He's a ruler of this world, and we are to be alert, to be aware of his schemes. He's more powerful than we are. He hates God. And he is not alone. He has many underlings, demons, who are incredibly strong. And they are at his disposal. And he will use even... Why does it say we're to be so alert? Why does it talk about this? Think of this example. Here's Peter. Peter, obviously, he had left everything to follow God. He was going to be an apostle of the church. He's going to be one of the foundations of the church. But at one point, Jesus looked him square in the face and said, "Get behind me, Satan." What kind of talk is that? That's spiritual warfare talk. That's what it is. You, I, if we're not alert, we can actually be used by the enemy. And I dare say we can be used more powerfully by the enemy, even than those that do not know God. Because there's nothing more powerful than, you think about this, if you are against the force, what's better than lobbing bombs and shooting missiles at them? Get somebody on the inside. Get somebody on the inside. They can rip and tear and do some damage now. You get an infiltrator. So you get somebody that looks, acts like a believer, or maybe they really are a believer. But Satan got a hold of them. He can use them. They can be a tool. You can be a tool. I can be a tool. Peter was a tool of the enemy. We got to be alert. We got to be alert. He loves to use those on the inside to rip, tear, divide, devour. He's sneaky. You would think, but somebody that has their gear on, their soldier fighting, you would think that it would take some great catastrophe. Maybe as the demons are conniving us in, we can get some persecution going and we can take that one out. And then that'll leave that one vulnerable. You don't think they plan? You're fooling yourself if you don't think. This is obvious in the scripture. They plan, they scheme, they connive. They know you. They can read you. You ever seen those little things where you can read with somebody by the size of someone's pupil? You can see if something they like, something they don't like. I bet Satan's got all that stuff down. If man knows it, Satan knows it. He can sit there like from the TV view, and he can flash something come on the TV, and he can see your response to it. Yeah, that's what they like. That's their weak spot. That's their weak point. I'll get them with that. So he can, maybe as they scheme and connive, you should read C.S. Lewis's book, Screwtape Letters. It's this imaginary conversation between the master demon and the underling. And I can imagine the scheming going on. He's saying, you see what stuff's going on in this country? We can get some persecution. We can get some persecution against that pastor. Let's work towards that. And the head demons say, why wait till we get all that in order? We have Facebook right now. Let's just get him on Facebook thinking he's looking out and caring for people and just get caught up in that. And all of a sudden his prayer life's gone. Let's start that tonight, okay? Get going. Has the internet ever taken you out from your prayer life? Who do you think that was? We don't even know when there's spiritual battle going on. Be alert to the schemes of the enemy as he takes you out. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. So you know, Keith was talking earlier, you know those thoughts of discouragement, despair? Who's whispering in your ear? Take your courage away. Discourage you. What good is a soldier out there fighting and he has no heart? He has no courage. Boy, that cowardice spreads like wildfire. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. This is not some crazy guy writing this. This is Peter writing this. Peter, under the control of the Holy Spirit, this is Scripture. It's truth. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Take you out from the ranks, then the next one falls too. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Be alert. You have an enemy. He's prowling around. He's looking to take you out. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 and 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. You didn't even know that, did you? You thought you were just out there having fun. Well, God's word tells us something different. He says that me, were out there following the ruler of this world. That is a powerful being, wouldn't you say? The ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's what I was talking about, that when I looked out over the city, and if you could pull back the veil, and if you could see the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. And it goes on. But God's great love rescued us. Then back to Ephesians 6. Back to verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand firm. So we've caught a glimpse of the organization of the enemy forces. Now, I haven't gone into detail about this. I kind of think I'd be in the territory that overstretches the information that we've been given to go too deep into this. We could go a little deeper. But even with the full armor that we're talking about here, prayer is always associated with this spiritual battle. And you will easily be defeated if you do not, if you're not taking up prayer along with the armor. So, what are we to do then? The day of evil will come. It says we are to be alert and watchful, aware of his schemes. So we've already talked about some of his schemes. Hint, just touched on. What are some of his schemes? How is he working against you? You cannot afford to be walking around in the flesh, open and vulnerable. And you will not make a difference unless you are walking in the Spirit. He is going to try to convince you that there's not really a battle. He's going to try to keep you away from meaningful fellowship. That wasn't the devil. I just wanted to do something else. I just didn't want to do that. I didn't want to join in with that prayer meeting. I just didn't want to go to that Bible study. I just didn't want to be at that church. I just didn't feel like it. And you thought that idea came from just your flesh. Yeah, your flesh was involved. But there's an enemy trying to keep you from teaching, from fellowship, from accountability, from partnership, and from corporate prayer. Be alert. Wake up. You have an enemy. Your enemy is not letting up. So much of my effort today and last week is really to convince you there's a battle going on. It's there. To be aware of it and to get ready for it. It's real and it's more dangerous than any battle that's ever been fought on this earth in the physical realm. So, in preparing for this, something I'd like for us to do. Our first piece of armor we're going to take up, that I'll introduce when it's time to close, is going to be the belt of truth. We're not going to go into this right now, but this is these soldiers in the Roman days had these flowing garments, and you know he talks about and Peter talks about gird up the loins of your mind, and the picture there is that here's this guy with these kind of flowing garments, and he's got a tie those things up if he's going to run a race. He's going to take some action. Well, the same thing is here. He's going to have this belt of truth that's going to hold everything together, keep it in place for the battle that's at hand. Part of this belt of truth is putting away hindrances to the fight, everything that impedes the battle. So I would like to give you an assignment this week to prepare you to even put on the battle. Here, to be ready. If there's a struggle in your life, let's say you're struggling with desire for God. Let's say you're struggling with discouragement. Let's say you're struggling in your marriage, your work, anything. You just don't have passion. If you will throw yourself into, be enveloped by God's Word, and then pray on the things that are revealed to you in His Word, then you will have heart for the battle. So your assignment this week is to put aside those hindrances that have been keeping you from God's Word. And I know some of you, some of us, are extremely busy. And I know many of you already do this. If you're already having regular time in the Word, try this. Delve into the Word. I mean, bury yourself in it. Write down what comes out and pray on that. Pray on that. Use what you get from God's Word and use that to pray. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm tricking you. I'm inviting you into the fray. That's what I'm doing. Step one. I'm inviting you into the fray. Take up God's Word. You see, I'm not talking about the sword of truth. We'll get into that. Right now I'm saying the belt of truth. The belt of truth that allows you to see yourself with a more accurate view. And that is to take up God's Word. Read it. Meditate on it. Pray what you find there. You'll find plenty of stuff to pray about if you'll just take it up, read, and pray on that. And that will prepare you. Why? Some of you are not prepared. I can go ahead and just finish this list today and throw it on you. But you're not prepared for it unless you're getting the belt of truth on. You see that very first thing, you're tying up some loose ends. You're getting some things in order in your life. You're putting away some things and you're adding some things, but you're getting things straight. And the first thing I want you to get straight is to get into God's Word and pray what you get out of it. I'm not listening to the talk radio doesn't count. Listening to the preachers on the radio, that's good, but that's not what I'm talking about. Reading some other book, that's not what I'm talking about. Writing cute spiritual things on the internet, that's what I'm not talking about. Getting into God's Word and pray, taking your station. Pray. Real prayer. What you find there. That's our first step. That's the belt. We're getting that little belt on. We're tying some loose ends up. And then we'll talk about the other equipment we're going to strap on after we get that straight. So that is your assignment for this week. Do we have a closing song?